coming to the church that is located in Thessalonica. This church had its beginning during Paul's second missionary journey. The record of this is found in the book of Acts, chapter 17, the first 15 verses. And from there, the book of Acts 17, we learn that Paul and Silas had spent 3 Sabbath days preaching unto the people of Thessalonica. We read in Acts 17 and verse 4 that during this time, this 3 Sabbath days, there were some of them believed. And it says, and consorted with Paul and Silas. That is, they began to associate and keep company with Paul and Silas. When the Lord saves your soul, the company you keep will also change. That's another message. But they consorted with Paul and Silas. We also read in Acts 17:4 that those among those who were saved were the devout Greeks. The word devout would mean religious. Religious Greeks, a great multitude. And then we also read of some others. The chief women. Women of influence, women of honor. Not a few. So, a great multitude of people were saved in Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. Now, our text in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13 is, of course, a very small portion of Paul's letter to these people that were saved. And in this verse, Paul is expressing thankfulness to God for the influence, for the effect, and for the power that the Bible had in these people's lives. I want to speak this morning on the subject of my Bible. When I say my Bible, we don't mean that we wrote it. We simply mean that we have the privilege of possessing it. So we speak by way of possession when we say my Bible. I want to look at 3 things here in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. We see the Bible is described. We see what these Thessalonians did with the Bible. And we see, thirdly, the impact that the Bible had upon their lives. But first of all, the character of the Bible is described in this verse. Now, when I use the word Bible, I am not referring to the ASV, American Standard Version. I am not referring to the CEV, the Contemporary English Version. And I am not talking about the ESV, the NASB, the NCV, the New Century Version. We're not talking about the NIV, the New International Version. We're not talking about the NIRV, the New International Reader's Version. We're not even talking about the NKJV, the New King James Version. We're not talking about the NLT, the New Living Translation. We're not talking about the RSV, the Revised Standard Version. These are all perversions as a result of a satanic attack. When we refer to the Bible, we are referring to KJV, King James Version. I believe it is the preserved Word of God. It is what God has preserved. Now, twice in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, the Bible is described as the Word of God.
twice.
It is referred to as the Word of God. We would like everyone this morning to hold your Bible in your hand, to hold your Bible in your hand as we consider this thought, my Bible. Holding your Bible in your hand, look at it. Just look at what you're holding. Now, give deep and serious thought about what you are holding in your hand. It is the Word of God. What a privilege to hold the Word of God in our hands. And I'm afraid many times God's people lose sight of just exactly what this is. The Word of God. So, what we are holding in our hands is referred to in Isaiah 5 and verse 24 as the Word of the Holy One. The Word of the Holy One. Isaiah 34 is referred to as the Book of the Lord. Look at what you're holding. Consider today that you hold in your hand the Word of the Holy One, the Book of the Lord. It is referred to in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 2 as the oracles or the utterances of God. What Isaiah said in Isaiah 1 and verse 20, the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That verse can be written across every line of this book. The mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. What we hold in our hands today is the very Word of God. What we hold in our hands today is a book. A book breathed by God. Think about that. What you hold in your hand right now is a book breathed by God. It is the writing of the Creator of the universe. The writing of Almighty God. This is not a mere book. It is the writing of Almighty God. It is the writing of an all-knowing God. It is the writing of an all-wise God. It is the writing of a holy one. We hold in our hands the book, the writing of one who cannot be mistaken. We hold in our hands the writing of one who cannot lie, who cannot deny himself. It is the writing. It is the writing of the living God. It is a message that originated with God. What we hold in our hands today is a message that originated with God. It is not only a message that originated with God, it is a message from God to us. What you hold in your hand right now is what God would have you to know about Him, about His Son, what God would have you to know about yourself, what God would have you to know about life. What you hold in your hand is what God would have you to know. This book, of course, does not contain everything that God knows. You couldn't have a book that big. But it contains everything that you and I
need to know. What we hold in our hands today is the words of an eternal God. It is the dictation of the Holy Spirit. What we hold in our hands today is not a mere book. It's not the mere opinions. It's not the mere philosophies. It's not the mere reasonings and ideas of mortal man. No, what you hold in your hand today is the thoughts from the unchanging mind of God Himself. From the unchanging mind of the King of Kings. You can be sure of this. From beginning to end, it is the Word of God. Twice in our text, it is said to be the Word of God. A book that reveals the thoughts of God. A book that reveals God. What you hold in your hand is a revelation, an unveiling of the invisible God. It is the world's greatest book. It is unique. It's one of a kind. There's never been another book like this. And you and I hold it in our hands today. It is the most remarkable book that has ever existed. It is the most magnificent. It is the most wonderful of all books. What you hold in your hand is above all others. There is no equal. There is no parallel. There, it is unmatched. It is superior. The psalmist declared in Psalm 138 and verse 2, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." What you hold in your hands, being the word of God, is like God Himself. That is, it has the character of God. What you hold in your hands today is eternal. It is immutable. What that means is that it is settled. It's not open for debate. It is settled. It has already been determined. It is fixed by God. It is sure. And it is immovable. While kings and emperors and nations have used all their powers to destroy the Word of God, it still stands. Unbelief and rejection does not alter what you hold in your hands today. Man's hatred of the Bible has been persistent. It has been determined. It has been relentless. But Jesus declared in John 10 and verse 35, the Scripture cannot be broken. This is the Word of God. And it cannot be broken. That means it cannot be destroyed. It cannot be disrupted. It cannot be brought to an end. And through the centuries, in spite of all the intense hatred toward God's Word, in spite of all the brutal attacks and numerous attempts to break and destroy the Word of God, we hold it in our hand today. It cannot be destroyed.
It lives forever. What you hold in your hand today has been preserved of God. And it continues on. It's eternal. It's immutable. It is pure. Psalm 12 and verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. Proverbs 30 verse 5, every word of God is pure. We've already said it is God breathed. Being God breathed means that it is pure. It's flawless. It's untainted. It's real. Being the word of God, it is true. And it is right. Psalm 119 and verse 160, we read, thy word is true from the beginning. It is called the scripture of truth in Daniel chapter 10. And thy word of truth in 2 Timothy 2 and James chapter 1. Jesus said in John 17 and verse 17, thy word is truth. What we hold in our hands today is in absolute accordance with God. Being in absolute accordance with God, that means it is correct, that means that it is accurate, and it is true, and because it is true, it is right. Everything in this book is right, correct, and accurate. It is true, so true, that whatever is contrary to it is false. Whatever is contrary to it is a lie. Isaiah said, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. This is our standard. This is our standard for truth. And we read in Romans 3 and verse 4, let God be true and every man a liar. So true that everything that is contrary to it is a lie. What we hold in our hands today is a pillar of unshaken truth. As truth, it is certain. As truth, it is firm. So firm that you can build your life upon it. You can build your home upon it. You can build your marriage upon it. It is firm. And it is unwavering. It is unshakable. It's guaranteed. People like guarantees today. This book is guaranteed. It's guaranteed. Guaranteed for eternity. You buy things today and it says guaranteed for life. Well, whose life? Whose life are we talking about? This is guaranteed for eternity. Guaranteed. No matter what your condition is. This is the guaranteed word of God. And it is reliable. What we hold in our hands today is the authority, the power, and the influence of God Himself. We read in Isaiah 55 and verse 11 that concerning the Word of God, it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. As the Word of God, it is living. It is living. No other book is living. The Word of God is a living book. Proverbs 6 and verse 22, we read, when thou goest, speaking of the Word of God, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. It'll lead thee. It'll keep thee. It'll talk with you. It's alive. It's alive. Contrary to the belief of many, you do not have to add life to the Word of God. It is alive. What you and I need to do is draw life from it. What you hold in your hand is a living book. Look at it. Take a good look at what you hold in your hand. Give serious thought to what you are holding in your hand right now. The infallible, the inerrant, verbally inspired Word of God. What you hold in your hand right now is a miracle. It is a miracle of God. Miracles do happen. They happen every day. Every single day of our lives. We are the recipient of miracles. But today we hold in our hand a miracle. A miracle of God. Because the world has done everything in their power. Satan has done everything in his power to destroy this book. And here it is. God has preserved it through the centuries. What we hold in our hand today is a miracle. A miracle of God. We hold in our hand is a storehouse of inexhaustible wealth. It is a fountain that cannot be drawn dry. It is an unfailing resource. What you hold in your hands today is far greater and more valuable than all the gold and silver in the world. If this was the only copy of the Word of God, what would you take for it? What if your family was starving and they needed money to feed your family? Would you sell it? Would you sell it? I hope not. There's nothing of more value than the Word of God. What we hold in our hands today is more valuable, is worth more than your house. It's worth more than everything in your house. It's worth more than your family. If we want to talk about worth, if we want to talk about value, we are holding the most valuable thing in our hands right now. Do we believe that? Do we truly believe the value of God's Word? You say, well, I can sell it and get another one. No, if this was the only one you could get, what would you do? We need to hold on to our Bibles. It disgusts me how some people treat the Word of God. That's another message also. I want to look secondly at what these Thessalonians did with this book. From our text in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, as you read that verse, you see that without a doubt they had a love for the Word of God. They had an appreciation. They had a reverence for this book. They had a tenderness of heart toward this book. They had humility toward this book. And every time we open it, it ought to humble our souls Because it's the Word of God. Every time we read it, we need to realize the seriousness of what we're reading. It's not to be misquoted. It's the Word of God. It's not to be taken out of context. It's the Word of God. We don't have liberty to do whatever we please with this book. It's God's Word. We see that they had an appetite for this book. They had a passion for this book. It was something that just gave them great joy and great delight. The first thing we see concerning what they did with this book is they heard it, which he heard of us. They listened to Paul and Silas as they preached the Word of God for 3 Sabbath days. No doubt they continued to listen. They gave attention to when the book was opened and read from. We need to give attention. It's God's Word. This isn't some famous man speaking. It is God speaking. That demands my attention. That demands your attention. They heard the Word of God. That's not enough. They appropriated the Word of God. You'll notice in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, twice we read that they received it. They not only heard it with the ear, but they received it in their heart. They recognized it in such a way. They took possession of the Word of God. They didn't just merely view it as an idea. They received it. The Word of God had a place within them. They received it. It became a relevant part of their lives. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 37 to some unbelieving Jews, "I know that you are of Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. I know you're Jewish, but you seek to kill me." That speaks of their behavior, their intent. "You seek to kill me because..." Now he's going to give the reason why they acted the way they did. "Because my word hath no place in you." You know why a lot of people act the way they do? Because this book has no place in them. The Word of God, when we receive it, leaves an impression. Leaves a lasting impression upon us. They not only appropriated it, they accepted it. Notice, "Ye received it not as the word of men." They did not receive it as a fable. They did not view it as the mere ideas and opinions of man. And many are guilty of receiving it in such a way. As is evidenced when they say, "I know what the Bible says, but..." Oh, you may know what it says, but it hasn't hit you yet that it's the Word of God. You've received it as the word of men. Notice how they received the Word of God. "Ye received it not as the word of men,"
but, and then the next three words, as it is. As it is. That's the only way to receive this book. You don't receive it unless you receive it as it is. And then he describes what as it is means.
As it is in truth, the Word of God. To receive it as it is means that you bow in submission to it. You do not receive it as it is unless you bow in submission to it.
Throughout the years, I've had innumerable people, after I preach the message, want to argue about what the Word of God plainly says. You need to receive it as it is. And when you do, you will bow in humble submission to what it says. Receive it as it is, in truth, the Word of God.
They applied the Word of God to their lives. Notice it says, you that believe.
They believed it. That means it became relevant in their life. They were persuaded that this is the Word of God. I am not absolutely convinced today that everyone here is absolutely persuaded that this is the Word of God. I'm not absolutely convinced today that every member of Home Baptist Church is absolutely persuaded that this is the Word of God. But I am persuaded, and I know that there are many here today that are persuaded this is the Word of God. What we hold in our hands today is the Word of God. And I believe it. I make no apology for believing the Word of God. We are to have confidence. If you believe something, you have confidence. We are to have confidence that this is the Word of God. We are to have unreserved trust that this is the Word of God. Again, look at this book. Look intently at what you are holding in your hand. Give serious thought. Give deep thought of what is in your hand. The very Word of God. Now search your heart. By way of examination, have you received it as is into your heart? The Word of God is plain. Thou shalt not kill. Well, that's your opinion. That's your interpretation. How else do you interpret that? There's no other way. Well, that's just your opinion, Brother Dan. Thou shalt not kill. That's plain. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I mean, this is plain. We're not talking about interpretation. We're talking about receiving it as is. Notice the impact that this book had upon their lives. They received it. Which effectually, that means effectively, worketh. The word that worketh means the Word of God is doing something. It is performing an operation. It is operating. When you work, you exert yourself. The Word of God is effectually, effectively working, exerting itself in you. Don't tell me that's not going to make a difference in the way you live. If the Word of God is in you and it is effectively working, exerting itself in you, that is going to show in your life.
So they not only possessed the Word of God, the Word of God possessed them. The Word of God was not in them dormant. It was actively working. It was doing something. It was doing something in their hearts. It was doing something in their minds. It was doing something in their lives. It was effectively, actively, and powerfully accomplishing its purpose in them. The Word of God is having an impact upon them. It is making an impression upon them. It had rule over them. It had sway over them. It had influence. It had authority. It had power in their lives. They had received it. It had entered into their hearts. And being a living book, it was actively working, performing a work in them. Is that true today? Does this book, I pray that you're not merely holding it in your hand, but I pray that it is working effectively in your heart, in your mind, and in your life. What we hold in our hands today is the very Word of God. And as such, it is sufficient to regulate every aspect of our lives. It is able to illuminate. It is able to make one wise. It is what God uses to bring about cleansing. It's what God uses to tell us how to live. In this book, God gives us instruction on what to do. God gives us guidance through all the mazes of life. What you hold in your hand today is what the Holy Spirit of God uses to impart life to a dead sinner. It's what God uses to revive His people. It's what God uses to sustain and to feed His people. What you're holding in your hand right now has the power to convict you, has the power to drive you to your knees, has the power to comfort you and to encourage you, to help you grow, to protect us. It's what the Holy Spirit has used and continues to use to alter the course of men's life. It's what He uses to train His people in righteousness. It's what He uses to equip His people unto every good work. Oh, how glad we ought to be to have access to such a marvelous book. My Bible. I love saying that. My Bible. Give me my Bible. My Bible. Oh, what a privilege. My question to you today is, has this book taken possession of you? You hold in your hand the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. Have you received it? as it is in truth, the Word of God. Have you received it in such a way that it makes an impact upon every aspect of your life? When the people of the world ask you a question, what do you think of such and such? Give them a Bible answer. Well, I don't want to drive them away. Don't you worry about that. That's not your business. Quit making excuses. Give them a Bible answer. Well, the Bible says, they'll do one of two things. They'll stop asking you questions, or they'll ask you more questions. Is this book making a constant impression upon our lives? Does it have rule over us? Does it sway the way we think? Does it sway what we do, where we go, what we put on, what we take off? Does it have sway? Does it have a consuming power, a melting power in your life? Does it have a refining power in your life? Has the Word of God penetrated your life? Look at what you hold in your hand today. Think about it. And I leave you with this. Is it actively, powerfully, and effectively working in you right now? This is the Word of God. Don't be ashamed to carry it. Don't be ashamed to carry it. Don't be ashamed to read it in the workplace. Not while you're supposed to be working. Don't be ashamed of the Word of God. Make no apologies for the Word of God. I may have to apologize the way I preach the Word of God, but I make no apologies for what it says. None. It's God's Word. What a blessing. What a blessing to have such a book. Oh, how we ought to hold it to our hearts. Embrace it. What a precious, precious book we have. Brother Larry, if you'd come.